Okay, moving on to other business. We have 9 items of other business this afternoon. The first one being subdivision 2005-64, Palisades Land LLC.
This item was deferred at the October 24th, 2013 meeting so that all the commission could participate in this discussion. It's a revised preliminary plan for phase one. This phase contains 281 single-family lots, a community clubhouse, and a swimming pool. The existing phase 1A, that's received final approval and it's been recorded. That was for 22 lots. There are no revisions to phase 1A. Some of the revisions are an entrance has been removed from Road 363, which was Double Bridges Road. An entrance was also removed from Road 364, which is referred to Camp Barnes Road. Cul-de-sacs have replaced some of the through or loop streets. We previously provided you a copy of the preliminary plan and a copy of the approved master plan for comparison. The project will still have fewer lots than what was originally approved, and you need to determine whether the revisions are significant enough to warrant an amended public hearing application.
All right, sir, we thank you. Mr. Smith, I did have a chance to listen to the audio from the meeting, and I'm wondering if it's appropriate to just give the applicant an opportunity to talk to us about what their plan is, and then we can discuss from there, or we can do it any way you see fit.
Well, we do have a representative of the applicant here, and we have a full commission. That would be fine with me.
Okay. All right, sir.
I would caution on this one, though, and that's fine for Mr. Key to come up, but the reason I say this is, you know, there was opposition to this once before,
right.
and it was, you know, I guess it was denied, and then there was a reapplication. It was approved. I just don't want to get into testimony and somebody claiming that we had a public hearing. I think it's appropriate for Mr. Key to explain, you know, the plan, but I don't want to get it into a quasi-hearing type situation.
Agreed, and that's all I want him to do, and that's all we'll ask him to do.
We'll be, if we do that, it'll be a setback for everybody involved. So, yeah.
And I think your comments are well taken. With I think I was probably the only one around for this one, and it was fairly contentious, and to the applicant's own good too. We want to be a thorough. For the simple fact that we don't want to create a problem, open a door for some other issue. So, all right, sir, Mr. Key, you want to explain to us what you're up to?
Yes, sir. It's Frank Key. I'm with Solutions Integrated Planning, Engineering, and Management right down the street. The applicant would be here also, but his daughter is getting married this weekend. That's why he's not standing here with me. Basically, the project has aged, as you know, and it's been reduced in size several times. The first time it was approved at 1,052 units on 739 acres. Later, some land was lopped off and it was reapproved with 458 acres and 739 homes. The current proposal is 434 acres and 699 homes, so it's a good 40 homes or so less than it was. The reason for this is because, number one, home products have changed and lot sizes have changed over time. And second, and more importantly, the wetlands jurisdictional determination expired during the life of the project. And so it had to be re-identified, resurveyed, which moved the internal roadway network around a little bit. In terms of internal design, that's about the only thing that was done is you're maneuvering around a different set of wetlands. And then the last thing we were trying to do is reduce the impact on the streets surrounding the project by reducing the number of entrances into and out of public roads. And that's basically it. Everything else remains the same. It's just a little less property than it used to be, again.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. The 699 lots include the 22 in phase 1A?
Yes, sir.
That's all.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Smith, you want to lead off the discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. I don't think that the changes in this phase here are that significant. I think we're eliminating an entrance off a busy road, and I think some of the through streets have been switched out for cul-de-sacs. That aspect of it, I don't think is particularly a change. But my memory and what my trepidation is there are two more phases of this project that come out, and I just wonder if we wouldn't be better to be able to see in a public forum and to serve the best interests of the public by seeing the whole project as it's going to be laid out. If, you know, if there's going to be changes to the next phases. A few months ago, I think we had some discussion here when we had an application by Bayside, and we had talked about how we thought it would be interesting to go back to Bayside and see how that had changed from what was presented at the public hearing and how it had developed due to market conditions. Bayside is mature now, and I think we think that all the changes that we've allowed in that RPC have been appropriate and have been responsive. But here we have a development that, and so far as I know, I don't think they even have stubs and hubs out yet. Nothing's been sold, and speaking as one of five, is it in our better interest to see the entire parcel? There are fewer lots, but there's also fewer acreage. I guess I would ask Director Lank, are you aware, Director Lank, of an application coming in beside this by another entity involving the lands that are down alongside Derrickson Creek? That'd be the crosshatched area.
Not specifically without going back and pulling records. We don't have that many new applications.
No.
There may be somebody planning on doing that, but we haven't seen anything as far as a submittal.
You don't have a submittal yet.
Shane, can you confirm that?
We don't have any submittal for that.
I think so, yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd heard, I guess it was hearsay, but from what I deemed to be a reliable source, that they were working on a project that was going to develop the lands that were going to be taken out of here, and that a part of that was going to be a realignment of one of the roadways along here, I think Old Mill Bridge Road. And that gave me some concerns about this. And I also am thinking about the Cannon Road site, how we saw that come, how that came back before us several different times in several different designs, and we got a lot of uproar from the people in Stonewater Creek that had said, you know, we'd had a public hearing, they had thought that it was going to be designed this way, and then it came back, and Cannon Road was a part of the project, and then it was out, and then it was back in, and the different amenities and the housing types. I'm just thinking about you know, what the public may or may not want to see on this. We also, on August the 8th, we had an application from a John and Joan Trigo for three lots on a 50-foot right-of-way, and we denied that, and that was off this Old Mill Bridge Road, because we thought that their neighbors would want to know what was going on, and this seems to me to be, you know, so much more significant than three lots. But those are my comments, and any that you gentlemen have. So, Sam, I'm not particularly worried by just this aspect here. Mr. Key did say something about the wetland delineation had expired and need to be redone. But there are more phases to this project, and I'm wondering what it will look like. It seems like now might be a good time to take a look at the whole project. But thank you for your time.
Else? I concur with Mr. Smith in that, you know, what we're seeing are with the phases, and I understand the reason behind the phases in terms of these developments, but as these phases change and evolve, the whole project has can be changed, you know, whether it's a change in the amenities or a change in lot sizes or change in the type of housing, all which may have had an impact on the commission, you know, when it originally presented to us. So it seems like sometimes we get these projects that get approved, and then all of a sudden they're wanting to pull this out and that out and something else out. And some of us may have been there, some of us may not, and some of us may recall the reasons behind why we wanted certain amenities in there. But it is troubling to me when we have a project that hasn't been developed yet or lots haven't been sold, and now we're coming back with changes. Whether they're significant or not, we don't know without seeing the whole picture. And you know, some of these projects are very big. It's just they're being developed in these little chunks, and who knows when all these little chunks are going to get connected, and the amenities that were supposed to be there are going to be there, and et cetera. And, of course, that's all a factor of marketing and sales and economy and everything else. But it, in the broader picture, I think that I'm like Mr. Smith. I think it's good to see the whole picture of something. You know, just like how we do in a public hearing, we're looking at the whole project. We're not looking at phase 2A or phase 3B. We're looking at the whole, you know, the broader picture. So, and that's why I think we've had that discussion about Bayside. I mean, we had, that was a very controversial project in and of itself, and we've made umpteen changes, and so far we hope they're all for the good, but again, it's nice to revisit the master plan as part of that. So whether we have to have a formal public hearing, I understand Mr. Robinson's concerned about the testimony piece of it, and but I think it's good for the commission to carefully weigh in changes that are being presented to us, because of, you know, the impact not only of that project but also the surrounding area. You know, so that's my 2.5 cents.
I would agree with that, but am I under the understanding that part of this project is being removed completely? So we looked at Paradise Island, Paradise Lands. It's one entity, and now acreage is being removed.
Yeah, the crosshatch sections.
You know, so on either end, over 300 acres were taken back by the property owner.
Or never went to settlement or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so however. So to look at the entire project again, we wouldn't be looking at those 300 acres because they're no longer in play.
Right, they're not in play.
I would think we need to look at what is actually now going to be developed. That's my thought.
What's the impact on the density?
Well, the density won't change. It'll be a reduction of numbers, it'll be a reduction of acres.
So there's no change in density.
He went from 1,052 homes on 739 acres, if I got my notes right, to 739 homes on 458 acres, down now to 699 on 434 acres, and that includes the 22 acres of phase 1A we already approved.
On this Becker Morgan, it indicates the originally approved density was 1.42 units an acre. As currently proposed, density at 1.61 units an acre in this legend. So pretty close.
Mr. Ross?
Well, it's a straightforward subdivision, not an RPC or that sort of thing. I guess the question is, you know, is the potential there to reverse the decision in a new public hearing or not? I mean, is there enough change there that we think that, you know, some new proposal will come out that would reverse the decision? It's a straightforward straightforward subdivision. Reconfiguring the roads is not a big deal. It doesn't look like they've requested removing any amenities. They're saying the amenities will go in phase one. Now, I wasn't here in 2005, so, you know, I don't know exactly what was proposed, but it doesn't say they're asking to remove amenities. So, you know, is it a good use of the public's time and the commission's time and the county's time to revisit a straightforward subdivision? Or, I mean, if we just don't know and want to cover our bases, we could do it. So I'm not so, you know, I'm not hung up on either, in either direction. I just, you know, I don't want to waste the public's time or the county's time just to say we did it.
I would just add to that if I could, and Mr. Ross brings up a good point. It really is whether the record from the prior subdivision would support this revised plan, because it was in the environmentally sensitive developing area, you know, and there was evidence that was presented during the hearing to support the preliminary site plan that was approved. You know, and they went through all the 99-9C stuff. There was the talk about, you know, 416 acres, I think, was supposed to be open space, you know, different things like that. So, you know, it's whether the record would support this or whether this is substantially different from what was previously approved. So,
but it would be substantially different if there weren't, if 300 acres is coming out, correct?
And I don't know that that really necessarily carries. If you just take, you know, because we've had that with plans, you know, you could even have a final plan that never gets built. I don't know that deleting acreage, I don't think that that makes it substantially different. You know, I mean, if the remainder of the site plan that you're keeping is substantially the same, I guess if you put it that way, you'd be okay.
My recollection of the objections to the project size and traffic, and if we're reducing the number of entrances onto the public roads and we're reducing the number of units, you know, I think that's a good thing.
I don't think that is necessarily a as long as the density is the same or nearly the same and we have less units, we have less entrances on the highway. And, you know, the wetlands issue is, I'm sure, you know, that's problematic. I'm not particularly upset by it. I mean, I think it still conforms with the intent. I would have to look at the record to see if it, I mean, I haven't gone back and actually studied the record from the previous hearing, but from what I can recall, it supports what's being offered now for the simple fact that it's smaller, for one thing. You know, it's simply less. It's a less units. It's less land use. It's less, not more.
One thing just I wanted to add to my response earlier to Mr. Burton, where those parts that were coming off could be relevant as if during the original public hearing, and I don't know if this is the case here, but like, for example, in the public hearing, they said, well, you know, we're going to develop it in such a way that this end of the project is going to be preserved as open space and forest lands, and that's really how it was presented, and the record was based so much on that, and then all of a sudden that's gone. You know, I'm not saying that applies here, but that would be an example where eliminating lands could have an effect on it. You know, just, you know, if it's just a part of the overall development and you take off areas, I don't think that necessarily
that was my point. I mean, if it was a cluster subdivision or RPC, well, then you have all those enhanced characteristics that come in, and so you don't really know. In a straightforward subdivision, there's just that not that many options to choose from to value up. You know, I mean, it's pretty much a basic subdivision plan. And so those issues are not likely to be an issue with a straightforward subdivision.
That's
more of an issue with density and land and those.
I don't know where I'm coming from is it still seems to conform to the, you know, to the basic tenets of the subdivision ordinance. It's less, not more. I'm not particularly bothered by it, but, you know, we'll vote. That's all, you know, we'll vote. So that's why there's five of us.
Is there some way that we can set this up so we don't have to go through the formal process of a public hearing and a reapplication, just whether it's a combination of the developer and staff doing a comparison of what was versus what is now? You know, so you know, we have that better grasp of the changes. And I'm looking at you, Mr. Robertson, since your concern, and rightfully so, is we don't want to create a mini public hearing here where the opposition doesn't have an opportunity to talk. But this is more, you know, almost like a workshop type item rather than a public hearing is what I'm hearing, because we're saying, well, what are the substantial differences and what impact does it have on the whole picture? So I don't know that the applicant needs to go through the process of applying. I don't think it's appropriate for them to have to apply to go through a public hearing for an application for approval. Whereas we're saying we need more information. Now, how do we get it? How does the commission receive that information as a group rather than each of us individually going back and reviewing the record and making our own assessments of it? Is there some way we can have a staff presentation or a joint staff applicant presentation that says, you know,
here's blah, the blah, major blah. Differences.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that that's necessary, because you certainly can request that, I think. You know, I know that the notes that Shane read off talk about, you know, and Mr. Key even explained a little bit the differences there. You know, and we've got, I think, the two site plans, you know, that you can do a side-by-side comparison.
Okay.
But certainly up to you. What my biggest concern in this whole thing is what worries me on all these is that, you know, we take one step forward with the potential for two steps backwards, you know, that the commission takes action, but then it gets a collateral challenge from somebody else, you know, and we're ending up either then having to deal with an appeal and the time it takes for that or some public hearing. So, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we should go the public hearing route on this one or not. It's up to you all to just decide, you know, whether you think it's, you know, in line with what was approved before at the public hearing. And I recalled, somebody talked about the subdivision. I was here, too, at that time. It got denied, and there was a recommendation for denial, I think, from planning and zoning. It got denied by county council as an RPC, and there was a lot going on with that change in zone. I think there was part of it was that the change in zone wasn't consistent with what was around there, and then there was issues about the RPC, whether there was the design ingenuity and other things. And so the applicants, they came back in for what's essentially a straight subdivision, knowing that wouldn't have all those variables in it that the change in zone did, and it was approved.
And once again, for myself, it's not this phase, I think most of us are in agreement, this phase here, the changes aren't particularly troublesome, and I, like Mr. Rawls, I don't think that there would be a different outcome. This has been proven that it can get an approval from the commission if it's a proper presentation in the record. But I think what worries me is we're just approving this. What happens if phase two and three come back and then it's different and we've established this precedent? And I'm like you, I hadn't thought until you mentioned it, wondering and worrying if the record of 6 years ago or whatever would substantiate what's in front of the commission now, with significantly fewer acreage and the unknown of what the next two phases would look like.
Can I ask a question of Mr. Key?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Mr. Key?
What did you get there? Is there a master, I don't want to call it a master plan because that makes it sound like an RPC, but are those other phases planned out at this point? You know,
yes.
Where they are?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm wondering if because right now we're just looking at the phases that are in front of the commission, I think. And what I'm hearing, Mr. Smith, you say is you'd have a better comfort level if you saw the entirety of it. Is that something that, you know, you could submit to give the commission a better comfort level?
Yes, we could. We have it. We didn't submit it because they weren't prepared to move ahead with those sections in
right.
terms of final engineering that follows this. But certainly we could submit the whole master plan. It's much like what you're looking at now. It's not significantly different from what was done before. The wetlands moved around a little, so the edges move around a little, and that's about it.
But what I don't understand, Mr. Robertson, is that under our subdivision code, straightforward subdivision, not cluster RPC or whatever, if it's permitted in the zone and it conforms to the code.
Yeah, but that's true, but it's environmentally sensitive developing district. That's how it was approved. And you still got to hit all those items on 99C, and those are related to that particular site plan, you know. And so what we got to look at is what, and I know it wasn't Mr. Key that presented it the first time around, but is it different enough that you have basically a different subdivision application? You know, that's where you're coming from. Gotcha. So.
I can tell you this, the conditions of approval that were attached to it, we certainly do still meet all those conditions of approval, which would lead me down the path of it meets 99C, and certainly we're not going to engineer and stamp and certify a subdivision that doesn't.
And I went back and looked through the conditions, and I would agree with Mr. Key. I mean, the one that obviously doesn't stay is the number of lots. You know, the maximum number of lots, you know, is obviously a lot more than what we've got. But when you go through, it doesn't look like any of them wouldn't apply to this smaller subdivision. I mean, because just to go through a couple of them, I mean, I assume there's still the school bus shelter that's proposed. I mean, the site-specific ones. Central water. The road intersection and DLDOT requirements, that's going to stay the same no matter how many entrances you have to the project.
That's correct. Right. We will comply with DLDOT's requirements, however how they come out.
Yeah. There was a presentation. I know there was, you know, talk about sidewalks and multi-use trails, and that was to be shown on the final site plan.
And that remains part of the plan.
And the central recreation area, that's still?
That's still part of the plan. In fact, if you look at the two plans side by side, they're simply flipped over because we took one of those entrances off Camp Barnes Road, and it's in the first phase.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's, and then there was tree preservation. I mean, because that was one of the issues that there was a concern about was, you know, preserving as many trees as possible, and that goes back to the environmentally sensitive aspect of it. And that was supposed to be, trees were supposed to be maintained and shown on the final site plan. Yeah, but so there's not any conditions that are plan specific to what was originally shown on the preliminary site plan.
Anything else for Mr. Key? Take a seat, but don't go too far.
Well, gentlemen, would you like to see the rest of the phases 2 and 3 before you make a decision, or prepared to make a motion at this point?
I don't feel a particular need to see them. I'm all right with the changes that are being proposed. That's just one.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to, regarding this item of other business, subdivision 2005-64, Palisades Land LLC, as a revised preliminary, my motion is for denial at this point, thinking that it is may not be supported by the record that was presented at the public hearing 6 years ago.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to deny subdivision 2005-64 Palisades Land LLC revised preliminary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Let's call the roll just to be clear. Mr. Ross?
No.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
The chair votes no. The motion carries 3-2. Our next